Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here with a subject, the LSAT requires an Oxford Dictionary. This is from Preston. You want to read it?
Yeah. Nathan and Ben, I'm obviously kidding about the title. However, in my journey on the demon, I've encountered some level 4 and level 5 LR questions from older tests where the question fundamentally hinges upon knowing a word.
I used to write like that with italics all the time.
Yeah, you did. fundamentally is italicized here. Thanks, Preston. Okay. It frustrates me because much of the time I take the amazing lessons in the demon provides on LR, slow down, apply them, and wouldn't you know, I answer more and more questions right.
Preston's a good writer. I like it that it's conversational. And I don't mind the like flourishes, but Ben taught me basically that you can just cut that stuff. The stuff that, you know, you can let those words speak for themselves. You don't need to, if you're using big words, like, I mean, like powerful words, like fundamentally and amazing, if your writing is clear enough, which it is with Preston, right? As you can hear his voice. If you just let those words do their own lifting.
Yep. Lifting. Yeah. Good point.
Okay. So you get more questions right when you slow down. No shit.
Yep. So you're doing better, but occasionally you hit these questions that hinge upon some word. Preston continues. One question used the word extinct and required one to figure out its opposite, extant. Another question used the word equivocally and pretty much required a textbook understanding of the word. I love the demon. I love your content. I'd also love to know why, how y'all recommend attacking these questions, as well as if they are still around on later tests. After all, the LSAT is here to test my ability as a lawyer. You wouldn't catch me in a million years saying extant in court. Oh,
really?
But you might.
You're way more likely to say extant than extinct.
Yeah, these words, the legal profession is filled with attorneys who know and use a lot of obscure words. Not that they should. But you do need to know them, Preston. You absolutely need to know them. You need to know what your opponent is saying, even if you turn around and say it better, which I think you're going to be very good at.
Lawyers are professional fighters. Lawyers are gladiators. People hire lawyers to go do battle for them. The weapons that they use are words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need a good vocabulary. My vocabulary is not perfect. But it gets better and better every day because I read and I write and I look up words in the dictionary. So, you know, the long-term advice for listeners and Preston is to look up those words. Do we have short-term advice? Like, what do you do in the moment when you don't know one of these words?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that you can try to the best of your ability, look to context, right? You can also try to, I find myself doing this with sentences, not so much with words anymore, but I think the same thing applies to words, is you could say, I think that could mean this or it could mean that. And sometimes just making that explicit is enough to say, wait a sec, no, it almost certainly more likely means this. But even if you don't know, you have to remember that to get a question wrong on the LSAT, you have to pick a wrong answer and you can't choose the right answer. So if you can eliminate four answers, even if you don't understand the correct answer, that's enough.
That's why we teach you lots of tools, not just a few, but lots of tools. And, you know, there's multiple ways to get to the solution, including process of elimination, which is not like our first choice, but sometimes you just got to back into it. I want to guarantee, by the way, we could look up this question that used the word extant. I'm going to guarantee that it did not require you to know that. And Preston says it required you to figure it out. Well, figure it out from what? Figure it out from context. Right. So read the rest of what's around it. Ben said, that's a good suggestion, Ben. What might it mean in this context? Then would it make sense if that's what it meant in this context? If it wouldn't make sense, then maybe it means something else. Another point that I would make here with the extinct extant thing. a lawyer is going to notice that that's two different words. If you're reading this aggressively enough, actively enough, you know, detail oriented, really getting in there, attacking the issue, you're going to notice that it's not the same word. And that's, you've already kind of won if you just notice, oh, wait, extinct. I know what that means. Extant. What does that mean? They kind of might be similar, right? You notice the similarities and differences. Huh. Starts with the same first three letters. And then you look at the context and you realize, oh, extant means something that actually exists, not something that no longer exists, like extinct. And you figure it out from context. Preston says, another question used the word equivocally and pretty much required a textbook understanding of the word. Do you think that's true? Or do you think that there was some other way to understand what equivocally meant in that context?
I don't know. It's hard to say until we see it, but usually there's something else going on. I mean, it's not like they drop these words in isolation, right?
It's a pretty rare word. I wonder if Preston meant unequivocally. Unequivocally is used all the time, right? I mean, unequivocally means that you are sure. It's 100%.
I was going to say without equivocation, but yeah.
Yeah, equivocation is used a lot too. You know, we asked the candidate for his position on this issue and he equivocated, or he gave me an equivocal answer.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there a question here? He says, I'd love to know how y'all recommend attacking these questions, as well as if they are still around on later tests. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about the attacking bit. Are they still around on later tests? Absolutely. I mean, there's like thousands of words on every LSAT. So there are going to be novel words in some of them, and you're going to need to know what some of those words mean.
Hey, I was just curious. So I went to the daemon, I went into the drill section, and then I went to search, which allows you to search for these terms in all the tests that are available. Equivocally appears twice.
In the history of the LSAT, yeah.
Yeah. And unequivocally appears three times. So,
oh, okay.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, but still, what, that's five times. Yeah, extant. Good question. Three times.
Three times in the history of the test, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that there are a thousand other words that are similarly rare.
Yeah.
It's a test written by lawyers who, again, are gladiators of the English language, who are seeing if they want to welcome you into their guild. It's not like it's a vocabulary test, but vocabulary is one of the building blocks of reading. Reading also builds vocabulary. So, you know, what you can do is you can read a lot and you can just look up words. I love it so much that I can just right click in a browser or on my phone and get a definition.
Hey, you use a Kindle, right?
I do. Yep. On my Kindle, I look up words all the time.
Yeah. You've been talking about that for years and using Libby
check out library books. And then they can just.
Sorry. Go ahead.
What? Your birthday?
Oh, yeah. So for my birthday, Maria and the boys got me kids. Kindle. Yeah. They got me a Kindle. I love it. I use it all the time now, and I look up words all the time. Because one thing you were saying is reading builds vocabulary, and I think people can make this mistake of reading and then not looking up words, right? Because so many times I'm like, oh, I think that's what they're saying. I'll look it up. Sometimes it's right, but sometimes it's different. And you're like, oh, okay, that's what that means. Very cool, you know?
Oh, it deepens your knowledge of the language. Like, you start to see connections between the things. It's just awesome. Yeah. The habit of looking up words. I mean, depending on what I'm reading, I'll be like looking up multiple words per page, you know, not that I don't get it, but it's just like, oh, that's an interesting word choice. Let me look up the definition of that word and see if I can figure out why they chose that word. Yeah. All y'all lawyers, which are, you know, you're going to be a professional student, a researcher, and writer.
Yep.
And so, it would be a really good idea for you to start looking up those words if you're not doing it already. I want to make a quick recommendation just randomly before I forget. That podcast that you recommended to me, Ben, Sold a Story, is really good listening. If you're here, you're a podcast listener probably. Check out Sold a Story. It's about how so many kids are taught to read so poorly. And, you know, for those of you out there who are like, oh boy, I'm a bad reader, I got reading problems, that might shed some light into why you are.
Yeah.
So check that out. Anyway, anything more for Preston?
No, keep up the good work, man.
Yeah, that was a vocabulary corner, I guess, on the LSAT Demon Daily podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can email daily at lsatdemon.com like Preston did if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.